The very definition of that word sanctification, it means set apart.
Yes.
Set apart to a sacred purpose.
Yes.
It means to consecrate. That root word sanctify means to consecrate, which is dedicated. In life, in natural things, there's somewhat of a way that we can relate to this. And I want to give maybe a few examples of this, but it's completely different when it comes to sanctification and being set apart for God's use.
Yes.
You know, maybe there are times when there's particular food that may be in the refrigerator and the cabinet that's set aside for a specific occasion or a specific meal, right? So if somebody goes into the fridge and you see them, you're like, wait a minute, why are you eating that? That was specially set aside for this particular day, you know, and maybe if it's made known, then you know, okay, I'm not supposed to mess with that. This is for, you know, maybe there's guests coming to your house and we're saving this for when the guests come, so everybody leave it alone. So we can sort of relate to that in that kind of sense in terms of something being set apart for a specific purpose. Maybe even there are some times where, you know, all of us work and we make money, but sometimes you might have a specific goal that you have in mind. Maybe you're trying to make a big purchase and you want to be able to set some money aside for that purchase. So what do? You each time you get paid, right, you pull a little bit out and you say, this is, don't mess with this. Right? This is for whatever it is. Maybe you're trying to have a down payment on a vehicle or a house or something, but that's money that you set aside that you say, leave it alone. This is for that, and doesn't matter what comes up. Well, I need this or I need that. Those of us that have children seem like, you know, they always needing something, right? But no, well, that's for that purpose. We're going to have to use some other means to get to that. But you know, when we think about God, it's different when it comes to us and the creator of the universe.
Yes.
Almighty God. God wants all of us.
Yes.
He doesn't want, you know, in these instances, in a natural sense in life, you still get to keep some, right? There's still some food or some money that you get to utilize that you don't have to leave alone. But when it comes to God, God wants everything. And by the help of the Lord, we want to look into this and help us to recognize and realize that this is a big subject. It's something that even when we feel like we have an understanding of it, it seems like God always has more.
Right.
So we're going to, by the help of the Lord, endeavor to touch on it. And it seemed like the Lord kept bringing a song to my mind. You know, part of ministering, we seek the Lord. And, you know, sometimes God may give a few things. Maybe, and sometimes we wonder, Lord, what do you have for this time? And he just kept, this song just kept coming back to my mind. And it starts like this. It says, by the promise of the Father. It's number 338 in our book. It says, by the promise of the Father comes the Spirit from on high into hearts redeemed from evil by thy power to sanctify. And it seemed like that verse just kept coming back. I think we was leaving service. One of my sons, Mike, could have told us, sitting in the song, and that I was singing the song. I mean, and I'm looking to the Lord, and that song back to my mind again. It's like, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So by the help of the Lord, we're going to touch on this thought a little bit. Let's look at the verses of that song. It says again, by the promise of the Father comes the Spirit from on high into hearts redeemed from evil by his power to sanctify.
Yes.
Then the second verse says they're reigning there without a rival. Paradise is now restored. Perfect peace, abiding pleasure, bliss the world cannot afford. Power to overcome, he gives us. Power to reign through Jesus' grace. Holy boldness in each conflict. Entrance to that heavenly place. Since the Comforter abideth, not my spirit can molest.
Amen.
I'm sanctified and I'm happy. Sweet and peaceful is my rest. It says, Holy Spirit, faithful teacher, in thy trusting heart abide, by thy sacred holy presence, be my comforter and be my guide.
Amen.
So I'd like to begin with the thought that this is something that was promised.
Yeah.
God, he promised, before I get to that, just this song is a good overview of what it means to have the Spirit dwelling and ruling within our lives.
Yeah.
Having him guiding and directing us, and just like Brother Henry is mentioning prayer, that it's just better with God. Okay, it is. But you know what? You want to put the icing on top of that? It's better with God and with the Holy Spirit. It's like a whole nother level. So he promised that he would send his Spirit. And when you think about this was something that he made known to his disciples while he was here on this earth. Right? And what do we know about promises that God provided? All through the Old Testament, there was promises, right, that God, he provided for each and every one. And then he promised that he was going to send his Son. And then the disciples were living at that particular time when his Son, Jesus Christ, was there on the earth. So they saw that promise fulfilled in their time. So then he let them know, there's another promise here for you. So let's begin in John, the 14th chapter, and the 15th through the 18th verse.
And he loved me.
If you love me,
keep my commandments.
And I will pray the Father.
And he shall give you another comforter.
And he shall give thee another comforter. That he may abide with you forever.
Even the Spirit of truth.
Whom the world cannot receive.
Because it seeth
him not.
Neither knoweth him,
but ye know him,
for he dwelleth with you,
and shall be in you.
I will not leave you comfortless.
No, I will come to you. No doubt you think about being one of Jesus' disciples at that time, and I imagine there was just there was a comfort in having him right there. I mean, could you imagine that? Just any time they had a question, Jesus, I have a question for you. Oh, Jesus, I'm having this problem or this situation. And he was right there with them. That was wonderful for them, right? I mean, I suppose God could have orchestrated that Jesus could still be alive today. Right? And he could still be providing that same kind of impact. But even when you think about Jesus, he was in the form of a man, right? So he could really only be in one place at a time. Right? So when we think about him saying he'll send a comforter, those that were around him, they got the benefit of having him right there with him. But you know what? God, in his love and his mercy for his creation, he had something better. Right? He said, I need a way to be able to be all over, right? So my spirit needs to come, and it can not only be with you here, it can be with them over there, and it can be scattered throughout the world.
Yeah.
So, here, he let them know, I know if you love me,
you keep my commandments. Oh, but then, oh, God has a greater plan, see? I pray the Father that he would send you a comforter. He said another comforter. So he recognized Jesus was a comfort to them, but he said, I have another comforter for you that he says that's going to abide with you forever. See, now we're talking about God in his spirit being able to abide with mankind forever throughout all time. It doesn't mean in all places, right? Not just limited. So it can be, you know, not only the disciples got the benefit of Jesus, and after he died, the Holy Ghost, but then it's something that we can benefit as well. We can have it. It's something that I can have today in 2025, that I can have Jesus reigning within me. I can have his spirit ruling and reigning in my life. It says he can be with you forever. And it said the spirit of truth. You know, no doubt, maybe there were some things that the disciples didn't quite fully understand. Again, and they could say, Jesus, can you help me understand this? You know, but the spirit of truth. Now, as I read God's word, see, I can call upon him and say, Lord, would you, with your spirit, give me an understanding of what I'm reading? And he can have, so not only can his spirit be with me, he can help me have an understanding of what his requirements are of me. So he said, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see. See, it's something that they didn't quite, some around them, even though, you know, think about those that didn't believe. I mean, you can almost, how could you fathom somebody not believing when Jesus Christ was there in the flesh? It just seems mind-boggling, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, but he said the spirit of truth. See, there's something that that his spirit can come and help us to see, that there's recognized things that the world can't see. See, there has to be a starting place. We'll get to that. But, you know, we got to have him. First of all, we need him in order to be able to recognize what he can do for us.
Right.
Whom the world cannot receive. Why can't they receive it? Because they see him not. Right? So you gotta, first of all, you gotta recognize who he is, and then you gotta know him. Right? So he's laying out some prerequisites for what needs to take place. Right? You gotta know who he is, or you gotta believe it, and then know who he is for yourself. For ye know, so now he's letting you know him. You see me, and for he dwelleth in you, and he shall be in you. Here, this is what he talks about, the Amplified, as it relates to that comforter, a counselor,
yes,
a helper,
yes,
an intercessor,
yes,
an advocate, a strengthener.
Amen.
One that stands by with you.
Amen.
And he can be that for all of us.
Amen.
Forever. Yeah, when a time, I need help, I can call on the Lord. Right? I need a counselor. Lord, be my counselor. I need an intercessor, an advocate, whatever I stand in need of. Lord, you can provide that for me. And you can do that forever. Says the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know or recognize him. So it's a critical portion of it. So he lets us know, I'm not going. So even, Jesus, the disciples knew the plan of God. They know that he had to, you know, the whole plan of God was for Jesus Christ to be born, to live in the earth, and then he had to be crucified, right? So no doubt they had some wonderings in their minds, like, how is it going to be? I know you have to go away, but we're going to miss you. could you probably got kind of used to it, having Jesus around. But they knew there was a plan. But he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we can be encouraged by that. So he promised, this was a promise that he was going to provide, not only for his disciples, but for us to be able to have as well. Let's go to John 14 and 26.
But the Comforter.
So now he's giving a little bit more. He's giving a little, giving. This goes on in their back and forth conversation, but now he provides a little bit of information for him. A little bit more for him. He said, the Comforter,
which is the Holy Ghost,
whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said of you. So here, and again, his disciples, they had the benefit of being able to be around him all the time. And all of the things imagine all the things that he taught. You know, you think about our human minds, we can only take in so much. Right? And they didn't have all the things that we have nowadays. So this was an encouragement to them to let them know that all the things that I've taught you while I've been here, this is why the Holy Spirit's going to come, so that he can bring those things back to your mind. Maybe you're going through a circumstance and a situation, and then the Holy Spirit will come in, and it's going to drop a thought. Remember when Jesus, remember when we were sitting around the table, and Jesus ministered and talked to us about this? Oh, yes. See, wasn't that wonderful? That's what he provided there for the disciples. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send the Comforter. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said of you. So we think about, well, we didn't get that benefit, did we? But you know what we have? See, God had a plan for us, too. See, now everything that we taught, we can't say everything. I'm sure everything that he taught wasn't necessarily written down, but we have a lot of it right here. Right? So we have that. It's enough, right? That's all right. We have enough in order to be able to make it. See? But we have this now. But you know what? Now with the Holy Ghost, see, we can read it now, and now he can come and minister unto us. We can say, Lord, I don't understand. And he can enlighten us and help us to understand what it is. You know, as long as we have that heart of wanting to understand, God can, his Spirit can provide that understanding and that clarity that we need as we read his word. So now we get the benefit. We have it all written down, but his Spirit can come and dwell with each and every one of us and give us an understanding of what we're reading about. The writer said, Christ promises that the inspiration of the Holy Spirit would enable them not only to give history of his life and death, but also give them the perfect recollection of all the words that he had spoken unto them. Yes. So that's what they got all of that. But, you know, we get some of it, too. Yes. We get it, too. Yes. Maybe it's not exactly the same. But, you know, God's Spirit can just, we can come down as we read his word and just come and fill us with the understanding that we need, so that we can go on for him more than ever before. Yes, so he had to leave. So in thinking about his disciples, he had to leave. And in order for him to send the Comforter, he had to die. Yes. Even though maybe they could have thought in their minds, isn't there some other kind of way? Is there another way that you could, because we kind of like having you around. Could you stay? But in John 16:7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
it is expedient for you that I go away. See, because he let them know, if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So he let them know, this must happen. It's got to happen in order for me to be able to send the Comforter to you. And the blessing and the benefit of the Comforter, not just being for them, but even for us now. And all of those that lived after them, and then those that's going to live after us. Where we're gone, you know, if the world continues to stand, the Comforter will still be around. Still administering and dealing with hearts. So we recognize that there's a promise that was given of him sending the Comforter. So now, how do we get this Comforter? How can, you know, there's a requirement, right? There's something that has to take place now before I can just say, I want the Holy Spirit to dwell within me. Right. I have to be in a position to be able to receive that Holy Spirit. Where am I? I mean, my life has to be in order. I have to see him. I have to know him. I have to have some kind of relationship with him, right? Before I can say, Lord, I want your Spirit to come and dwell in me. So let's go to Acts, the 19th chapter. We'll read verse 1 through 5.
And it came to pass.
At it.
While Apollos was at Corinth.
Paul, having passed through the upper coast,
he came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples.
And he said unto them,
Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
And they said unto him,
We have not so much as heard
whether there be any Holy Ghost.
And he said unto them,
Unto what then were ye baptized?
And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul,
John verily baptized with the baptizing of repentance,
saying unto the people
that they should believe on him which should come after him,
that is on Christ Jesus.
When they heard this,
they were baptized
in the name of Jesus. So here Paul is having some conversation with some of these disciples, those that were endeavoring to follow after the Lord. So he recognized what he said to them. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Right? So in other words, these were ones that had already believed on Jesus, that already gave their lives over to him. So he's just trying to encourage them along now. It's wonderful that you're on the right path now, but I want you to know God has something greater for us. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So there's another, this is like step number one. Now God wants you to take you to step number two now. See, it seemed like they had been baptized as well. He said then, oh, they said, what? The Holy Ghost? We haven't heard about that. What is this all about? Yeah. And then he's letting them know, well, what were you baptized? How were you baptized? We heard about baptism last Sunday, and knowing that we have to have God dwelling in us, right? Before we can do that, that outward display of what's already taking place inward. So he's having a conversation with them saying, well, then how were you baptized then? Well, in John's baptism. Maybe there was just something that they just didn't quite fully understand, right? And that's all right. They didn't understand it, but now here's one that gave them the understanding. See, they didn't know. They were doing all that they know and understand. They believed on the Lord and they were baptized just like they thought they should be. But here's one that's giving them a little bit more. See, now I want to explain this a little bit more to you now. See, now this is, you baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost now. Yeah. So do you recognize what happened here? Yeah. After they got an understanding, what happened? You know what? They said, you know what? Baptize me again now. Because now I understand. Now I have an understanding of what it means now. So baptize me again in the name of Jesus. You know what this, imagine, they was probably wondering what, when he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Yeah.
You know, we can ask ourselves that question.
Yeah.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you, what that implies to me is that God doesn't want us to remain in a justified state.
Amen.
He has something more for us. Does that mean that there's something that happens? I don't know the timing. It's different for everybody. It's according to your understanding and according to God's dealings with you individually. You know, for some, I don't know, maybe it's a period of time. Maybe it's a few days, a few months, a few weeks. I don't know what it is. That's up to you and God. But the point being is God doesn't want you to stay in that justified state. He wants you to go on to another level, to allow His Spirit to come and reign and rule within you. He wants to lead and guide and direct you in your life. He doesn't want you to remain in that justified state. And you know, there's benefits. There's benefits of having the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You know, we're all endeavoring to get to heaven, aren't we?
Yes.
And you know what? This is only it's something extra to help us get there.
That's right.
Right? It's going to give us more power, more determination, having God's Spirit dwelling within us.
Yes.
They're going to be useful for we'll be, and not only that, we'll be useful for the kingdom of God. See, a lot of times the way the enemy tricks people with salvation is they're so caught up in their own self that he gets them all twisted and turned and, oh, this is so, I got to do this and all that. But you know what? What happens when you are set apart for God, your focus, sometimes it kind of shifts a little bit off yourself. And you start thinking more about other folks. And in thinking about other folks, you're thinking, I got to be faithful now because I got folks looking at me. And that gives you a little bit more that you can be. It's not only just about you. It's about how God can use you. Not only to help yourself get there, but to encourage somebody else along the way. Yeah, Brother Henry talked about it all the time. He said, I want to make it to heaven. I want to take somebody with me, right? That's the workings of sanctification being set apart for God. So we got to be ready and pure to receive it. 2 Timothy 2:21 talks about that a little bit more. The prerequisite of being filled with the Holy Ghost.
If a man therefore purge himself
from these,
he shall be a vessel
unto
honor.
Sanctified.
Meet
for the master's use.
And prepared unto every good work.
So if a man purge himself to be cleansed from iniquity. So if you've been cleansed from iniquity, if you've been cleansed from sin, if Jesus Christ has washed away all your sins and set you free, then you become a candidate for sanctification. You know, you say, well, I'm not sure if I'm ready. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus?
Yes.
Do you have an aim and a purpose to live for Him all the rest of your life? Do you want to have Him use you in the way that He would have you to want to use you? Then you're a candidate.
Amen.
If you've been purged by the blood of Jesus, then it's time to be a vessel of honor.
Yes.
That God can use to whatever capacity He sees fit. And prepared for every good work.
Yes.
And if you go back that reading we were in Acts, the 19th chapter, go back there quickly to verses 6 and 7. You can recognize what take place. So these ones that Paul was administering to in Ephesus, now that they had an understanding, they were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they had already been purified. They were on the path, endeavoring to live for God and all that they know and understand. So they was ready for the next step now. So what happened to them in Acts 19 and 6?
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them,
and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
All the men were about 12.
So now God, he came down in his spirit. Paul prayed over them, and God's Spirit came and dwelt within them, came down and infilled them, and put them to work right away. And he talked about them, they spake languages that they previously didn't understand. That's what that means. They was able to speak and minister to others in languages that previously they didn't know. And God worked with them. So understand, when you sign up to be set apart from God, get ready because he's going to use you.
That's right.
Isn't that our purpose here anyways?
Yes.
We sing a song, since Jesus gave his life for me, shall I not give him mine?
Yes.
Lord, you gave me life. It's the least that I can do. Lord, what would you have me to do? And he laid his hands on them, and they prophesied in the name of Jesus. Time is getting away, but I don't see how this can be broken up, saints. So I desire your prayers and desire to be able to present this. I don't think this is something that you can separate. So I apologize in advance. Recognizing that this infilling of the Holy Ghost can only come from God.
Yes.
It's not from anybody else but God.
Right.
Let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter and the 15th verse.
Who? When they come down, prayed for them. That they might receive the Holy Ghost.
So when we pray, who do we pray to? We pray to God, right? So when someone comes to be prayed and asked for the indwelling of the Spirit, it's something that only can come from God. And that's the only, if it's from any other source, it's not, it's a, might be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit come from God. The writer said they prayed and laid hands on the apostles, and God sent down the gift.
Yes.
So the blessing came from God.
Yes.
And he just utilized some vessels that he had here on the earth. Just like he'll use us sometimes. Right? We just recognize it's only God anyways. So it's something that comes from God.
Right.
So now when I say, Lord, I want your Spirit to come and reign within me. Is that all that it means? Is that it? So I'll just say, Lord, let your Spirit reign within me, and I'm sanctified. Thank the Lord. Well, there's some action that's required on our part.
Amen.
You know, God has a purpose for us, doesn't he? And sometimes, sometimes the things that he has for us is, they might not be the easiest things. But there's instructions that we were given. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter, very familiar text of Scripture, and the first verse.
I beseech ye, therefore,
brethren,
by the mercies of God,
that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice,
holy, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, brethren. All right. So in order to be a brethren, you got to be saved, right? So you met that requirement. You're saved. All right now. Then have you said, Lord? He said, I beseech you. The Amplified says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you to look at, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you make a decisive dedication of your body in presenting all of your members and faculties unto God as a living sacrifice, holy, dedicated, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is the least that I can do. You know, you think about in the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices, right? But these were, when we come to God, we're living, right? We can say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, I have life and breath that you've given me, and I'm giving it to you. And what it is, it's, you know, it's all his. When we give ourselves, when we're set apart for God, we say, Lord, you're mine. I'm yours.
That's right.
I'm yours, Lord. And you know what? Really, I don't really have any more say. Well, you could say, well, that's difficult. Well, you know what? There's another choice. When you don't serve God, you think you're running and ruling your life, but it's not the case.
Amen.
And you're talking about the one that bled and died for you? He sent his son to set you free from the bondage of sin? Lord, what do you want me to do?
Amen.
Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, with an intention of offering and being what is acceptable and well-pleasing to God, who knows what's going on in our hearts. That we give a complete surrender.
Right.
Think about last Sunday, Brother David, he wanted us to sing that song, didn't he?
Yes.
You could see the effect that it was having on him. I surrender. That's... When we say, Lord, when we present ourselves to God like that, we say, I surrender all.
Yes. Amen.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Lord, I'm just a vessel here now. What would you have me to do? Body, soul, and spirit. All one. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 23rd verse. Body, soul, and spirit.
And the very God of peace.
And the very God of peace.
Sanctify you wholly.
And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless
until
the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being set apart for God puts us in a position where God will equip us with everything that we need to be successful in this life. That we'll have all that we need, that we can endeavor by the grace and help of God to remain blameless before him. Until he comes back, or until he calls us out of here. Now recognize, does that mean I'm going to do everything perfect? No, I'm still human, aren't I? But you know what it is? It's a recognition of when I become aware of it, I'm going to do something about it. When Paul was ministering to them in Ephesus, when they got the understanding, they immediately took care of it.
Didn't say that they sat around and talked about it for 5 hours or 5 days later. No, it said when they got an understanding, they said, baptize us again. And then now we've done that. Now, we want the Holy Ghost too now. You talking about this Holy Ghost? I want some of that too. So when God reveals things to us, we respond. That's what His Spirit working within us. It constrains us. He can say, Lord, we don't even want to resist. We say, Lord, and even at times maybe when we don't understand, we say, Lord, help me. I want to get to the place where you want me to be. So that everything that I say and everything that I do, that I want the sanction of His Spirit on me. Because now I'm His representative in the earth. You know what? There's a blessing in being set apart from God. I believe this to be true. There is less of a struggle with self and with the enemy when you have God's Spirit ruling and reigning and guiding your life. I found it to be so. I can't explain it. I just know it's different. And you have to have His Spirit reigning within you to recognize it. I encourage it highly this morning.
Yes.
And in presenting ourselves to God, we recognize that we're His temple.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6 chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse.
What?
What?
Know ye not
that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost,
which is in you,
which ye have of God,
and ye are not
your own.
For ye are bought with the price.
You bought with the price.
Therefore glorify God in your body
and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yes.
You have yielded up to Him and you're consecrated and you're set apart for His use. Yes. And you say, Lord, my body is no longer my own because now I've asked for it to be inhabited by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And you know, He bought us anyways. We've been purchased by His blood. He inhabits and occupies us by His Spirit. We are not our own. We are His. And it's just something that you have to... I'm still reminding myself of that all the time. Lord, how am I treating your temple?
Help me,
Lord. I got some work to do, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know, God doesn't chastise me every time that I just do something that's for my body that I shouldn't do, but He gives us reminders.
Right.
He gives us reminders and lets us know. So Lord, help me in understanding being set apart from God. Just recognize I'm the shepherd of the temple, this body that He's given me, and I want to treat it like He wants me to treat it.
Amen.
And that's every part of me. That includes my mouth and everything else, right? Help me, Lord. Because now I'm set apart for your use. I don't want something that you've given me. I don't want to use it to be a discouragement or a hindrance to anybody else. Now maybe help me, Lord. Sometimes when I want to say something, maybe I'm supposed to be a vessel of honor now. Help me, Lord. You know, this promise of sending His Holy Ghost, it was fulfilled
Remember when the disciples were in the upper room? So we know that God sent his spirit down, right? So he sent his spirit down to them. So we know that he is no respecter of persons, and what he has done for others, he'll do for us as well. Let's just turn there. I know a time. I'm almost through. I appreciate your patience this morning. Let's go to the second chapter of Acts and be reminded of what took place there as the disciples were gathering together. And God sent his spirit down to them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all within one accord in one place. Now, let me ask you this. If they were all in accord in one place, what do you think was going on? Do you think they was up there arguing? No, I believe they was all in one accord, probably praying and seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, we want to be used of you. Lord, we want to be vessels for you. Lord, we want to just find whatever your plan and desire is for our lives. Lord, we want to be found in that place. And all of them was up there praying together.
And then suddenly there came a sound
from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So God lowered his spirit. You're talking about they all got sanctified that day. And the Spirit of the Lord came down and touched each and every one of them. And you know what? God used them from that time forward again. Gave them, they were able to speak in languages that they didn't previously understand. To be able to reach those that were wherever they were. That they could communicate with them in a language that they understood. And God used them. Could you imagine? What a wonderful place. Could you imagine? You know, you heard the expression about being a fly on the wall. How do you like to be a fly on the wall when the Spirit of the Lord came down? That fly would have got some spirit too, huh? I'm just saying, just using that as an example, I don't see how anybody in there couldn't got touched by the Lord.
Amen.
His spirit came down. Amen. So that promise was fulfilled. So we can be sure to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what he has done for others, he'll do for us, and he's done for... There's some that can bear witness to it, of what God can do when you say, Lord, take my life and let it be. When you say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. When you say, Lord, I want to be set apart for your use. There's something special about having God's spirit dwelling and reigning within you and having him use you as he so desires. There's some benefits and there's some blessings. There's I'm going to touch on one other scripture, and I realize that there's so much more in this. This is a big topic, and I've endeavored by the help of the Lord to try to help us to understand some of it, and again recognizing that this is a learning way, that as we continue to draw closer to the Lord and he reveals himself to us, that he can enlighten it a little bit more. I don't claim to know all of it. I'm still learning myself. But you know what? By the help of the Lord, as he enlightens me, I want to be found in that place. But there's definitely benefits. In Acts, the first chapter and the 8th verse,
But ye shall receive power.
After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
You shall be witnesses
unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea
and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So what does that mean for you and I? When God's Spirit can dwell in us, then we can be witnesses for Him wherever we are. In Forney, in Mesquite, in Dallas, in Plano, in Frisco, wherever we go, we can be witnesses for Him. Because His Spirit reigning within us, we're representatives of here and of Him right here in the earth. And we have, when God's Spirit dwells within us, there's a power that comes along with that. And it's not something that we have of our own accord. It's only because of and it's through God. So that we can be able to resist the enemy, to fight against the enemy in different ways that he tries to discourage us and others, that we can be an advocate, not only for ourselves, but for somebody else. That the enemy trying to take advantage of, that we, through the power of God working through us, that we can stand against things like that. Amen. And God can use us in the way that He would have. My encouragement to each one this morning, entreat the Holy Spirit into your heart and your life, and surrender your all to God.
Yes.
God knows where each one is along the journey of life. Yes. But you know what? And if you haven't done step one, take care of that first.
Yes. Yes.
Do that now. There's no reason to wait.
Yes.
But let God use you. My encouragement this morning is to be used of God. If you meet the conditions, what are you waiting for? I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.